I want to thank the youth for being willing and leading us in worship. And I want to also thank the congregation for letting them do it. I remember I was once a young person. I had hair, I had a beard, and some kind older gentleman, probably someone my age, took a huge risk and invited me to help. And I thank God for those people. So thank you. And thank you too we've been sharing Thanksgiving today. And thanks to our family and to friends. And by the way, there's several here that can say thank you or otherwise about some birthdays. So do a little investigating, because they won't thank me if I mention them by name. But there might even be a birthday happening today, and maybe two this week. So maybe their kids will tell on them or something like that. Just a thought. God's provision is so great and so wonderful for us. You look around, we have decorations, and we won't embarrass someone over that, but if you can recognize the writing, you might want to thank the appropriate person. If you can't, just talk to me and I'll tell you who it is. So, and thank you for those who shared. As we go through life, there is much to be thankful for. I came across a list of things that people are thankful for. One of them was for automatic dishwashers, because they make it possible to actually get out of the kitchen before the kids come in for a snack. And but I like this one perhaps the best. Thank you for husbands who attack small repair jobs around the house, because when they're done, we can call in the professionals because they've made it such a big job. Or how about this one? For children who put away their things and clean up after themselves. They are such a joy to have around. It's a shame to see them go back to their parents. For gardening, because it's a relief to deal with dirt outside. And for smoke alarms, of course, because they tell you when the turkey's done. We have so much to be thankful for. So many to be thankful for. God has provided us so abundantly. We live in a part of the world that most of the world cannot imagine. They can't conceive of the wealth, the provision, the blessing, the freedom, the relationships that we enjoy. God has blessed us immensely. Immensely. But I realized as I was working through this week, preparing for today, that I lack something. There's something I'm still lacking. It comes out of Ephesians chapter 5. Perhaps you'd like to turn there with me. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, Paul is admonishing a young church about how they should live in their society, in their community, in their world. Let's begin at verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Well, perhaps let's go to 15. Let's start at 15. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This passage, this whole chapter is a contrast. The Ephesians, the church of Ephesus, the Ephesians were living in a world that was not Christian. There was debauchery, there was drunkenness, fueled by drinking establishments. There was sexual immorality, fueled by brothels, but mostly done in the name of religion. There was a race to be more wealthier, drive a fancier chariot, more horsepower, literally, more chrome, well, brass, really, more employees, slaves, really, a bigger house. Cities would compete to build a bigger stadium so that their hockey team could actually play in there if they were playing, and then if they could actually win a game. Those of you who follow the Rebels know what I mean. Paul speaks to this kind of society and says to the believer, be different. Be different. Don't live like that. Be different. Go back to verse 1. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Whoa. So different than the world. The world says, it's about me. I want, I get, I party, I do it all. And yet here we are saying, Paul is saying to us and God is saying to us, live differently. Live a life of thanksgiving. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will in you, for you in Christ Jesus. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Over and over again, he says, look to God for your provision. Look to God for your thanks. And it's hard sometimes. It's hard to remember, and it's hard to give thanks. There's a summer camp, not the one Miriam was at, a different one, and the counselors were leading a discussion about this very topic, the purpose that God has given for everything in creation. And they were able to see the beauty in things and the provision of things and the flow of nature and all those kinds of things. And then one child in this said, if God has a good purpose for everything, then why is there poison ivy? Why is there poison ivy? And the counselor was stumped, as counselors often are. And one of the children spoke up and said, God made poison ivy to teach us there's some things we should keep our cotton-picking hands off. What I am missing in all of this is I lack a grateful heart. Lord, would you give me a grateful heart? Would you? Because it's not natural for me to go around giving thanks all the time. It's much more natural to complain, to carry on, to fret, to be anxious, to worry. Lord, would you give me a grateful heart? I miss it. I miss the opportunities to give thanks. And yet God has given us so much, and he is so close. He has given us himself and says, I am with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. No matter what happens, God is with us. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you know, you are with me. With me. We are never alone. As believers, we are never alone. God is with us. Does it get better than that? I don't see how it can. Except it does, because we can look forward to being face to face with a barrier broken down in heaven and seeing him. Wow. Lord, give me a grateful heart. Give me a grateful heart. I could go on for hours. Some of you think I do, but I could go on for hours over God's provision throughout my life. How he has provided graciously, kindly, over and over and over again. And sometimes in the circumstance you say, how is it going to, no. And then you look back and say, yes, that was the hand of God protecting, providing, being with, accompanying, even in death. Because my body is deteriorating. It's breaking down. I'm getting old. If I was stuck in this forever, how sad would that be? How difficult would that be? But God has even provided a way that we can now have eternity with Him forever. And He offers it freely. He says, here you go. It's yours for the taking. Will you receive it? Will you receive the provision of God? Will you receive a grateful heart from Him? We have another song we're going to sing just before we partake of communion together. But these elements remind us of what God has done for us. And we receive them. We receive them gratefully with great thanks. The bread is broken for us. It's a symbol of the body that Christ had, that He hung on a cross to show us how great His love is, to show us how great His provision is. How can we do anything but say, thank you, God, and live it? The cup, the juice, is a symbol of His shed blood, blood that He willingly poured out on our behalf, that we can be washed clean for anyone who would come and receive that. Can we receive that with thanksgiving? But as we go from here, in just a few minutes after all of this, can we go with thankful hearts? God, would you give me a thankful heart? Please. Change me, Lord, that I would be thankful in the midst of struggle, in the midst of adversity, in the midst of pain, in the midst of dying, in the midst of elation and birthday parties. Lord, give me a thankful heart. Because it's really God's provision. God has given us this. It's His world. It's on loan to us. Thank you, God. Let's pray. And then the worship team will come lead us. Lord God, thank you. Lord, thank you. Oh, we just want to put circumstances and things in there. But Lord, thank you especially that we can say thank you. We thank you for family and friends. We thank you for this beautiful, amazing creation you have placed us in. We thank you, Lord, for who you are and that you come close and that you've reached across the chasm of sin and pain and sorrow and grief and shame and guilt to redeem us, to forgive us. But Lord, thank you especially for who you are. Lord, we're just so grateful. Lord, we ask one thing. Even as we have heard of some tough times, and Lord, we lift our situations before you and pray for families and people who are expecting and people who are dying, marriages that are in trouble, marriages that are going well. But above all, Lord, we thank you for who you are and that you are close. And that we can even say thanks. Your provision is so great. We worship you and praise you. In your name we give you thanks. Amen.